well did what you heard from the president square with your expectations?
Well, it was pretty much what I expected. We heard a lot of this before. We do have a strong economy. What the president failed to mention is that he inherited the longest running economic recovery in the history of America, and we've added to 2 years on to the 8 years of economic recovery that he inherited. With an economy that's stronger, you would hope we'd be paying down our debt, and rather than doing that, we're increasing our debt. The deficit this year is going to be $850 billion. Next year, $1 trillion. And the president talked about a number of spending programs, including infrastructure, a wall on our border with Mexico, and a bunch of other things that he didn't mention how we're going to pay for them. And so I used to be state treasurer of Delaware when we had the worst credit rating in the country. I was governor when we gained AAA credit ratings by just being good fiscal stewards. And I think we've lost our way with respect to being fiscally responsible. And the president for our country needs to provide that kind of leadership. Governors need to provide that leadership for their states. And I think our governor's doing that, and our president needs to keep that in mind.
One early line stood out from what Mr. Trump said. He said if there's going to be peace and legislation, there cannot be war and investigation. How did that strike you, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, it reminded me of Richard Nixon, actually. When Richard Nixon was president, and there was an investigation going on as to whether he was complicit in the so-called Watergate burglaries, and as it turns out, he was, and he was involved in obstruction of justice. But he used, as I recall, occasions like a State of the Union address to try to fend off those investigations. So it's a little bit deja vu. President Nixon used to say that the folks at the Washington Post were out to get him, and it was all untrue and so forth, but actually they had their facts right.
What was your reaction?
In this case, what needs to happen, Bob Mueller, who I know well, I was chairman of the Homeland Security Committee when he was the head of the FBI, had a chance to work with him on a number of occasions. He's a very good, decent man. And he is not on a witch hunt. At the end of the day, this investigation needs to go to its conclusions. And if there's no collusion, the president has clean hands, and that's fine. If not, then there are consequences that will have to be paid.
What was your reaction to the way Mr. Trump characterized the state of the southern border, and how do you feel that his tone last night affects efforts to avoid another shutdown coming up, looming in 10 days?
Well, it's not that hard to come up with a common-sense compromise. It better secures our borders, and then also addresses the real reason why people are coming to our borders. The folks that are coming across the border into Texas, mostly Texas, they're not coming from Mexico. There are more Mexican-Americans going back into Mexico than Mexicans coming into the U.S. Most of the illegal immigration is coming from three countries, Honduras, Guatemala, and Salvador, and Central America. They compete every year for the title of murder capital of the world. They live lives of misery down there because of our addiction to drugs, which are trafficked through those three countries. And one of the keys to actually stopping, we could have a 30-foot wall from the Pacific Ocean to the Gulf Coast. And if the folks in Honduras, Guatemala, and Salvador are still living lives without hope, opportunity, lives of misery down there, violence, crime that we're complicit in, if that's still the case, they're still going to come here. And the president makes much of the crime that's committed by people from other countries who come here to live. The truth of the matter is the crime rate among people who are here as immigrants is significantly lower than the crime rate for Native Americans, people born here and grown up here.
Were there any areas that President Trump addressed where you see an opportunity to work with the administration, eliminating AIDS in 10 years, infrastructure?
Well, I met yesterday with Elaine Chao, Secretary of Transportation, and also with Kirstjen Nielsen, who is the Secretary of the Department of Homeland Security. And there's a wide agreement that we need to do a lot of work on roads, highways, bridges across the country. And we need to deploy broadband in places across the country. So there's a real agreement in that regard. But what the president needs to do, what I've done is propose ways to pay for that stuff. The president has not. Leaders, in this case presidents, need to say if we're going to make those kinds of investments, here's how we propose to pay for them. Last time he proposed that we spend about $1.5 trillion on infrastructure, basically have the states pay for most of it. So states weren't crazy about doing that. The other thing I'd say, today in America, about 157 million people will go to work in America today. 157. I fact checked that. That's correct. There are about 3 or 4 million jobs in this country that are going unfilled. It's just nobody will show up. They don't have the education. They don't have the experience. They don't have the work ethic. They don't want to do those kind of jobs. They can't pass a drug test. And we need people to go to work. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce and all kinds of organizations, business organizations and so forth, humanitarian organizations, are saying we need a comprehensive immigration policy that especially allows guest workers to come to this country from other places, work for a while, go home, to fill jobs that nobody else wants to do or no one else is willing to do here in this country. So that's something that we ought to be able to find common ground on, and I hope we can.
One last question. Do you feel anything major was missing from his speech last night?
Things that I always learned to do, as a naval flight officer for 23 years, midshipman before that, and one of the things they taught me as a young officer in training was to share credit with other people when things are going well, give credit to your team. When things go badly, the leader takes the blame. And I don't think that Mr. Trump went to the same kind of military training that I received for leadership training. The other thing is he makes much of improved relations with North Korea. I would not trust the leader of North Korea as far as I could throw him. On the other hand, in Iran, where we've had this five-nation nuclear agreement with Iran that basically has kept them from developing nuclear weapons. It's tightly enforced with inspections in Iran, throughout Iran, by independent agencies. For the president to continue to attack Iran and to play nice with North Korea, that just seems somewhat out of step.